This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Damon Bruce at 95.7 The Game in San Francisco to give us the other side of the coin. Damon, how you doing, man?
Bill, you know, we've had a lot better NFL seasons around here. Not lately, but we thought this one was going to turn around and feel much different. And all of a sudden, a torn ACL. And everybody's excited about the Golden State Warriors. How are you?
We're excited about the Milwaukee Brewers, I guess is the best way to put it. As much as we can't figure out the Green Bay Packers, because on paper it seems like they have quite a bit of talent and they're just not kind of living up to expectation. The expectation was at least hope at the end of the tunnel for San Francisco, and then like you mentioned, it all kind of goes awry. What other talent was around Garoppolo besides Garoppolo?
Well, and that's a question that I think everyone's looking at and re-examining right now, because Jarrett McKinnon was signed to do an awful lot, and then he went down before the year even started on the final practice before, you know, they really got underway. And that was something we tried to diminish. We tried to pretend it wasn't a big deal. You can't really miss what you never had to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
I think we were wrong about that. I think right there went half the playbook, and Matt Breida's done a very good job filling in, but this team needs more weapons than it has. Marquise Goodwin, who was a great story last year, turned into a little bit more of a track athlete, off injured this year. He hasn't made an impact at all. And Pierre Garçon he's got more cute little accents on his nameplate than he has touchdowns in a 49er uniform, Bill. He has not scored a touchdown since he signed a deal that has paid him $23 million over the last two seasons. So they just don't have really the horses in the barn, and you'll see right now, and it might have even been a reality with Garoppolo. Their two best playmakers are a tight end and a fullback, and they still actually have done a great job moving the ball. Kyle Shanahan can draw them up, but they don't have the horses to run the race, and their jockey, Jimmy Garoppolo, a key piece. As soon as he went missing, I mean, that's enough to sink just about any NFL team.
How good, in your opinion, was Garoppolo going to be, or is Garoppolo, when he comes back?
The five games that he played last year, it felt like the savior might have shown up in town. And then, of course, he got paid like he had already won Super Bowls on his own. And honestly, the beginning of this season was not impressive. He was also up against it in Minnesota to open the season, which is obviously a tough place to go play. He was not ultra impressive at home against the Detroit Lions, and he was not ultra impressive as they were getting their teeth kicked in by the Chiefs before he went down with that fourth quarter ACL. I don't want to say that just a few small handful of games should change your mind about someone who I think a lot of smart football people feel has got the goods to be a franchise quarterback, and I do too. I mean, he passes the eye test in so many ways, but he goes down in a moment where he was not exactly inspiring the masses. And the real problem is here, Bill, is the anticipation eventually wears off and you want something. Like, we have been waiting. The build-up to Garoppolo year one, what will he look like in 16 games, is still going to be a question for him. And that's a question everyone needed answered this year. So it's very unfortunate.
They did kind of spread out their draft choices. They went both offense and defense. It wasn't heavy to one side or the other. They picked up Dante Pettis. Give me your thoughts on his progression thus far.
Well, Dante Pettis is officially, I believe, well, I don't know if he's been ruled out, but he was last week, and he flashed. He flashed early. Normally the Niners don't get anything from rookie wide receivers, and Pettis' first catch was a touchdown. He's got speed on speed. He set the NCAA punt kick return record. I think they're missing him on special teams right now. He seemed like he was about to to be a contributor there. But if you're hurt, you know, availability is the best ability. Mm-hmm. So I'm not really interested in anyone's strengths and weaknesses who can't get out there right now. I will say about the rookie class, it looks like they got a real one in Mike McGlinchey. He is the real deal over there at tackle. I think Fred Warner, the rookie linebacker from BYU, who had to fill in for the suspended Reuben Foster in the first 2 weeks, did good there, looked good, and is going to have a bright career. But this is a secondary that gives up an awful lot of yards. I mean, it's a tough time to be a defensive coordinator in football, and Robert Saleh looks like a newbie under new rules, and it's a little confused. I expect Aaron Rodgers to give Neil what for it this Sunday, I really do, or Monday night, excuse me. But, you know, Richard Sherman has been fantastic when he's been out there. That's the best thing I can say about the 49ers defense. DeForest Buckner has flashed a little. There's still holes everywhere, though. There really are, and Solomon Thomas might be a massive bust for a guy who was the third pick in the draft.
Is there, I guess my question is, because we didn't think that they were going to be a Super Bowl contender this year, but how much light's at the end of the tunnel for the organization?
Well, it depends on if you want to look at it in a positive way or a negative way. Positively, you could say, look, I think they got the right GM, the right coach, an owner that's going to stay out of the way for the first time in a long time. I think they got a good quarterback, but he's coming off an ACL, and their new running back toy is going to be coming off an ACL. And, you know, right there is a little nervous that your future is now based on two huge ACL repairs. I know they tie those things together like shoelaces, but it's a little concerning to put all your stock in that. And what's really scary and disappointing about this year is that there's no lever left to pull. Like, you've made the hires. No one's getting fired. Year two of six-year deals. Everyone understands what happened. And there's no player to add. You've already done that. The next thing the 49ers have to really look forward to is the draft. And that is not what anyone signed up for this year, which was supposed to be at least the first interesting and competitive year for the first time in a long time. And it looks like this team's going to be picking, you know, in the top 10, top 5 in the NFL draft.
Yeah, it's certainly not what a lot of the San Francisco 49ers fans wanted. How have they is there a reality to this, or have they begun to abandon ship and wait till next year?
Well, I mean, teams never give up. Coaches never stop scheming. If you're asking about fans, I think fans are pretty darn depressed. I'll tell you, it was a huge blow to see the NFL already. I don't know if the 49ers might have set a record for the earliest a team has ever been flexed off a primetime game. Week 7, they have been moved out for Pat Mahomes against the Cincinnati Bengals. You know, Chiefs are the talk of the league, and so the 49ers, who had grand designs for their game against the Rams. I mean, didn't the L.A. media market, wasn't that the end-all be-all of the NFL's media needs and wants? But they just flexed the Rams off of a Sunday night football game. And what's really sad, and, you know, you'll understand this covering the Packers, how much history means to this team, that was going to be Dwight Clark's day. That was going to be a big primetime hug around the passing and memory of Dwight Clark. A huge statue was to be unveiled in that game. A big charity that was near and dear to Dwight Clark's heart was going to be given a huge amount of exposure, and all of that just got flexed to a 1:25 afternoon kick on CBS. And that is just, I think, emblematic of what this season was supposed to be and what we've really got.
Yeah, it's. I would be a little bit depressed. I know people here are depressed, and they haven't even gotten off to the start they wanted, and there's still a lot of optimism. So I can only imagine what it's like right now out in San Francisco. Hey, I did want to touch base with you and just say, hey, when it comes to the Golden State Warriors, I know optimism reigns supreme right now. Give me your thoughts. LeBron's out in the West. A lot of competition in the West right now. Give me your quick synopsis of what the Golden State Warriors are going to have.
They are still the team to beat. They might have a question at center until Boogie Cousins shows up, for goodness sakes. It's an embarrassment of riches. Keeping everyone focused on just getting to the playoffs healthy is going to be Steve Kerr's job one. You know, the Warriors need to worry about apathy more than they really need to worry about anybody else not named the Houston Rockets. So that's the world I think the NBA exists in. The Celtics could be a very interesting finalist challenger if that's the way it all ends up. But it should be a walk in the park to the Western Conference Finals, to be totally honest with you, and not being distracted by what Durant might be thinking about his future is going to be part of the story we tell all year out here. So it's very interesting. We are watching a dynasty unfold right before us, and it's a chance to three-peat and win four out of five NBA titles. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time, I'm sure, out there. The NBA is hot and heavy, and we here in Milwaukee are kind of feeling it with new buildings, Giannis and company, and the East now a little bit more wide open with LeBron out in the West. Good luck to you guys, and we'll chat again soon, okay?
Thank you very much. Anything you need, always appreciate it.
Thanks, Damon. Talk to you soon. There you go. Damon Bruce from 95.7 The Game out in San Francisco joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com. 844-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.